Guys, I just realized that our logo on the site says Level Up.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. We're back. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And I'm Cap.
Cap is back after a little hiatus. We didn't kill him. Everyone was jumping to conclusions. This is the second show of Season 5. We are a good week into January in the 2014.
Wow. First weekend of 2014.
First weekend.
Happened.
Yep.
It was awesome.
It's good. Everything's still going good in 2014. Though, you know what? I'm excited because tomorrow, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is releasing on Steam.
So
I told someone, I can't remember if it was I told you or I told you, Kat, but I told someone that I'm never going to buy this for console because it's not a true Metal Gear Solid game.
It's not canon?
It's not, it's tentatively canon and not canon at the same time. It's like, it fits, but if it doesn't fit in the future, then it doesn't need to.
I feel like I have to ask, is it still like the same style? Because I remember they had that one Metal Gear game that came out that was like the card game.
No, that's not like the card game. It's Acid, yeah. It's not an Acid 2. It's not like Metal Gear Acid.
Okay.
It is a third-person action-adventure style game that seems to go more on, or less on stealth, and more on just chopping everyone and everything into millions of pieces.
Sign me up.
You do this weird bullet time thing where you can
first one I enjoy.
You can do a special move and you can slice people really, really quickly. And then you hit
I know which one you're talking
about. You hit play
about
and
now.
And Gibbs just go everywhere. They released it during the holiday sale. I think it was like $15 or $20 or something for the Steam holiday sale. And that was to pre-purchase it for the January 9th release. So tomorrow it will come out, and I've been spending the entire week preloading because my internet's slow. But I've been spending all that time. Likewise, I've been looking forward to the Star Citizen hangar dogfighting thing, but it's still updating. It's just so slow. So I need to get more internet.
Get better internet. Just download some more RAM.
But that's immediately what happens or what is happening. Later in this month, of course, Tomb Raider, the definitive edition, is coming out. And we will do our best to
buy the games we all own again.
I will try to rent Tomb Raider. I'm going to call it Tomb Raider 2014. If we're calling Tomb Raider 2013, the new one, 2014, the definitive edition, I will try to rent it for PS4.
Wait. Is this a new Tomb Raider game?
No. It's just a 2014 re-release of 2013's that has better textures and better graphics. And they said, hey, we could put it on Blu-ray now. Hey, we can push the more pixels and make the hair better and go ahead and make...
Oh, yeah, so our hair can do the crazy
things called Tress FX or Tress X.
That was funny, by the way.
It was great. Anyone with a modern gaming PC can enable these features, but... we're going to talk about that. I'm not sure if they should enable
Tress
X.
They should.
So that's what happened last week. Before we get too deep into the conversations,
this is going to be a deep conversation.
We are going to go ahead and pitch our websites like we do at the beginning of every website. Red Bear, what is the website?
That's exppoints.com.
That's two P's.
Always double tap the P.
And Cap, since you've been out for a little bit, you know we got a Facebook, right?
Yeah,
we got facebook.com/experience points.
Put it in a book put it online.
The books of faces.
Yep. We got facebook.com/experience points. If anyone wants to check us out there, you can go ahead and look at pretty much everything that we post on the site is going to be reposted on that Facebook site to kind of link people together. But go ahead and check that out. We will be posting another game giveaway, and it'll be like a multi-game giveaway, so it'll be probably like 10 games.
Oh.
Yep. It'll be about 10 games getting given away. We're going crazy.
That's exciting.
It is pretty exciting. Any more exciting, and it may snow.
They would shut us down.
right. They'd stop us. We're going to go ahead and roll right into our retro game segment. We are working on a written and a video and an audio counterpart review for the Descent retro game review that Red Bear and I tag teamed last week on the air. If you want to know our thoughts about that, please go to exppoints.com and click on radio shows. Go to Season 5, Episode 1, and listen. It's going to be the first segment in Episode 1 of Season 5. This week, we are going to talk about one of my personal favorite games. It's kind of what got me into gaming, PC gaming at least. And it's weird because the company did this...
Let me guess. Is it Bomberman?
No, it's that's not what it is, but that's a pretty good game, I guess.
It's that game where you're the mouse and you try to trap the cat with the kitchen tiles.
Tom and Jerry?
No, it came on Windows 3.1.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one where you moved the mouse and the cat would chase you?
Yeah.
You would just jump.
No, no, you push the kitchen tiles around and you trap a mouse and a one by one he turns into cheese and then you eat him.
I feel like this was on the
the cat. You trap the cat, you're the mouse.
I feel like that is a good game just by the way you've described it, but that is great. Not the
That's
game.
That's not it?
That's not the retro game I'm discussing.
That sounds awesome.
This game was the first.
The first game? Pong?
Right. No, it was one of the
Pong?
It was one of the first first person shooters on the Mac platform that
I
had.
It.
And
I
this is back in 1994.
I know what it is. E.T.
No. E.T. was
Oregon Trail.
First person shooter.
Oregon Trail.
anyway.
They're shooting.
It seems really weird because this was developed by Bungie. As you may know, Bungie is responsible for developing Halo, Oni. They're working currently for the next gen on something called Destiny.
Now that they're separated from Microsoft.
Right, yeah. They're
and we're all very happy
about that. They were mostly the reason the Xbox sold as well as as much as it did.
Oh, yeah,
right,
man.
People bought the Xbox to play Halo.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and
I
believe Bungie did all the way up to Halo. They did all the way up to Halo Reach. And then
how many were there? There's like...
There's Halo 4 now. They're about to do Halo Spartan Assault, which is like this weird top-down thing.
There's been like
and
six or seven? Halo's 1, 2, was there 3?
1, 2, 3, Reach.
Halo.
OTSD.
OTSD.
Yeah.
There are a lot of
Halo Wars.
They did most of the Halos so far. However, 343 Studios is now doing that.
Well, Bungie started Halo.
Let's just
go with that.
Bungie also started the first first-person shooter on the Mac platform, Pathways in Darkness. And the game I'm talking about, the retro game review this week, is Marathon and the Marathon series. So Marathon, Marathon 2, Durandal, and Marathon Infinity.
Marathon.
It is
Doom
awesome.
For Mac.
It is Doom for Mac. it is widely regarded as the Mac counterpart for Doom because Doom wasn't ported to the Mac platform until 95, so midway through. Instead, we got Marathon at the end of 1994, and we thought it was awesome. It was fantastic. It had single player, multiplayer. The main thing I remember was you'd run around. The story is pretty straightforward, though at the time it was very complex. I feel there was it was like playing a science fiction novel, you know, where you were the space marine. Yeah. Space marine before space.
And now everyone's a space
before
marine.
Space
every
marines
game ever.
Before space marines were really cool. You were a space
you're
marine.
You're a hipster space marine. Cool.
So what you're saying is, Bungie likes space marines.
I think
they've
they definitely.
Been using them for years.
I think they definitely know. They definitely know what sells and what works, and that definitely works.
Space Marines.
Very well.
Write that down.
Anyway, you're not really a space marine. You're a security officer, and you go up to this ship called the Marathon.
Okay.
It's controlled by an AI. Aliens have aborted. They're taking over some stuff, and you need to help the AI and be around the AI to fix the ship, to kill the aliens and fix the ship.
Okay.
For its time, back in 1994 and 1995, this game was really, really great. It was
probably state of the art.
I wouldn't say it was state of the art. Games back then, you know, when you say state of the art, that is a very old. That is a very old saying, a very retro saying. If you were you know what? I'll go and say state of the art was probably it. I'll defend Marathon. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about Marathon, and I guess that genre because you before the show, Cap was actually talking about how he pretty much hates.
I'm not a fan.
He hates 2D, 2D first person,
right.
Well, 3D first person, 2D based sprite shooters.
Yeah, for the
time. Why do you
for
hate
the time?
This?
I'm sure it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did have a slight issue.
It was the newest thing back
that.
Then, but personally, I just don't like the way it looks.
Okay.
Or the
okay.
way it feels whenever I move and play. It's just
to expunge on that just a little bit. It had they use a 3D environment,
right?
And again, Marathon 1, 2, and 3 or mm-hmm. 1, 2, and Infinity, they're free to download and play. Bungie
yes.
has released the code. We'll put a link on
that's
the website.
Of, yeah, that's pretty cool. That
we'll release. Well, I mean, you know, they made their money, and nothing mm-hmm. can really. You couldn't buy the CD and put it in and have it work nowadays because you have to emulate an older operating system. However, they do release something called Aleph 1. We're gonna go ahead and put a link in the show notes on the website of the show. You can go ahead and download it and play it and experience it for yourself for free.
Yeah,
so,
I will say, back to the 2D sprite, speak to the 3D world, my issue with that was I got motion sick after about an hour worth of playing.
Yeah.
I did experience motion sickness.
I love these games.
They're great. It's
MG
great.
Loves motion sickness.
I love me some motion sickness.
He just takes a Dramamine and goes at it.
I think the – because, again, the whenever I was playing these games, I was probably, I don't know, maybe like...
Yeah, I played them too. I don't think I got motion sickness when I was a kid.
It was...
Maybe it's just being old.
Maybe. Where... When you start driving, you start losing your video
game
ability.
That's understandable. Whenever you're moving in that game, you're moving fast.
Yeah, you're moving fast. And like you said, those 2D sprites are turning at you the whole time,
yeah,
but the rest of the world's spinning around you.
Yeah.
So you have this weird effect going.
It's so crazy. I pass into me. I'm like, God, turn around. Whip it so fast with that mouse. Turn around. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, okay. So you had mouse support.
I
didn't realize.
Mouse support.
Well, when I set it up, apparently I was in pro mode or something, and I didn't have any mouse support. So I still load the game. I have no idea how to move. I'm glad that like the story was explained to Matt because I missed that part too.
Me too.
I was just on a ship killing aliens.
So this is an unfortunate side effect of or an unfortunate symptom of a lot of retro games back in the day when you had to read the game manual at least the first two or three pages to get what was going on.
Yeah, because there's no opening cutscenes that tell you what's going on.
There weren't opening cutscenes.
No, nothing.
Period.
I was like, load, you spawned, and I'm trying to move. Okay, I'll hit the W. Okay, I'm looking up. That didn't help.
When you hit start game. Game has started.
Yeah, it reminds me of Quake 1, and first-person shooters back in the 90s did that. They gave you the player, they gave you the environment, and then they gave you a pat on the back and said, go for it. Quake 1 was infamous on this, I believe, because I had to read, you know, if you read the story of Quake, and we may do Quake as another retro game review because it is 3D, but it's a very dark, muddy 3D shooter. by today's standards anyway, you don't know what's going on. You don't know why you are fighting these people. You don't know what these people are even doing.
Kill them.
Yeah, the people, you shoot them because
ask questions,
you bought the game thinking that you were going to kill people. Might as well fulfill your dream. So,
By the way, is where Half-Life started standing out from the crowd when the story was freaking explained in the game.
Yeah, that is a big side effect or a big symptom of older games is that you didn't get, but in Descent's case, you know, Descent gave us a little
Descent
bit.
Descent gave you the novel at the beginning of the game.
Right, but now whenever you want to play it, like, you know, we were doing it, we do it in the Let's Play, we just like hit space a bunch of times to get through it because we don't care about it. We want to play
the game. Blah, 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 robots in space, let's go.
So I feel like, you know, there's way better ways of doing it. For Marathon, though, the story wasn't given to you in cutscenes or anything.
Context.
There were these terminals. There were these big computer terminals in all the stages. And whenever you go up to a terminal and you hit your use key, which is tab,
by the way, not E, not R.
You would hit tab, and you would open the terminal, and you'd see all of this text, and you'd have to read. And it was a lot of really cool story, maps, readout data. There was even some like code.
I used the map in that game so much, by the way. And also you can run around while in a map. But be careful you're not running into a room with enemies because you're looking at the map.
There were a lot of things that I think Marathon did right.
I would still love to picture that. So I'm like the space security officer. I pull out a map. I'm just looking at it, running around the space station.
I imagine it's a lot like Fallout. You like look at your wrist and you know.
And all these robots and aliens are wondering, what's this guy doing? Yeah. He's just staring at his wrist. Yeah, shoot him.
Back in the day, Marathon was really known for its multiplayer. You could have up to 8 people playing
multiplayer.
And even today, you know, there's an awesome little legacy section on the wiki page for Marathon that says that, you know, it's still played by a number of enthusiasts that like retro Mac enthusiasts.
I miss multiplayer gaming in the 90s because I did this with Descent and such too.
Yep.
But we had a 56K dial-up, so a computer would dial your house. You'd give your friend's number. And the computer would just call there, and then your computer, after about two or three rings, would pick it up, and you'd make a connection. And I guess it's LAN or WAN? I don't know. But
dial-up.
Yeah,
that's neither. That's dial-up.
It's dial-up. But, I mean, you would be linked together.
Right.
My mother would get so mad, scared that we're getting hacked because computers were calling the house.
Well, yeah, that's when War Games was out. That's when hackers – you were the Gibson, and they were trying to hack you.
They were trying to hack us.
All in all, though, I feel that Marathon was a pretty successful series. It definitely – I believe, as far as I know, it is part of the Halo universe. It's actually what happens after Halo is wrapped up.
Oh, is that
– That's it's in the future of Halo.
Again, no story has been explained.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so as far as I understand, Marathon takes place after Halo in the same universe.
So Halo's a prequel to Marathon.
Yes.
What?
If you look on the wiki page,
you see
the like the icon for Marathon.
Now,
those icons.
As I think about it, I'm thinking of the alien sprites.
Yeah.
In Marathon, and they look like the advanced aliens that I saw in Halo.
Right.
Towards the end. Yeah.
Not like the grunts, like the actual enlightened ones.
Right, right.
They look similar.
Another really cool thing is later on, if you play...
Our minds are being blown, Matt.
That's the sound of your minds. Hold on. Give it some space for air. There you go. If you play a little bit later, there are these colonists, and they're called Bobs. It's called Born on Board, so B-O-B. Those Bobs are the exact same voice, and pretty much the same thing as the Marines that help you on the planets of Halo, where they're like, we're all going to die. Like, they're all crazy and everything. That's the exact same guys.
Wow.
So,
kudos to them.
Yeah, they tied it all together.
These games together years apart.
The downside, I guess, if there is a downside, in 1996, Marathon was ported to Apple's Pippin, which was Apple's video game console.
Oh, Pippin.
It was called Super Marathon, which was Marathon 1 and Marathon 2 combined.
What about,
so,
did they ever have the Super Marathon Brothers?
Did anyone here own a Pippin?
No. I bet, you know what? I bet it'd be worth a lot of money now. But
yeah,
no.
I wish.
A little fun fact about that Super Marathon. It was the first console game ever released by Bungie. It predated Oni and Halo. So pretty neat factoids
there. It's pretty neat stuff.
Isn't it ironic that they got bought up by Microsoft later on?
Yeah, in 2000. So four years later.
Well, Marathon did well.
Marathon did very well, and it was released on Windows.
It was for the Mac originally, right?
Originally, yes.
How many games were there on the Mac? Because I don't remember many. Because even now today, people make fun of the Mac users, quote-unquote, because, you can't play games like we can.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily true.
Well, it's getting better.
Cases.
And, I mean, now that they're on the Intel platform, you can install Windows on it anyway. And
right.
Whatever.
There's that thing.
Yeah. So since they switched off the G processors to the Intel base, they're pretty much identical.
Yeah. And we're actually going to get into this. This is interesting because we're about to talk about console and PC and things like that and architecture similarities.
Segways are weird.
Segways are weird.
Glad we're going to go segue, guys.
We're going to go ahead and cut to a song real quick. Two songs. This is How to Fire a Gun by Shale Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire, followed by The Princess Who Saved Herself by Jonathan Colton. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And I'm Cap.
And you're listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU Experience Points.
I would like to learn how to fire a gun, in case it ever comes to that.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And I'm Cap.
That was Jonathan Colton with The Princess Who Saved Herself. And before that, Shale Riley and the Double Ice Backfire with How to Fire a Gun. I love the references to, like, C code and fighting games. It's really cool. And you should know how to fire a gun. That's sort of that's a prereq for, I guess, playing video games, because most video games nowadays have guns.
I don't think you actually need to know how to fire a real gun.
No,
maybe
I mean, in the game. In the game. Look, you tell me. You play The Last of Us, and I don't think, if you don't know how to fire a weapon in that game, it's going to be a short game for you. You're going to have a bad day.
It typically is left click.
You're going to have a bad, bad time.
I guess,
X or R2.
Or R2, is it?
The triggers.
Not D2, just the trigger button.
It's interesting that we talk about triggers and keyboards and button clicks, because this next segment is something that I feel like everyone, you know, it's tons of fanboyism. I know fanboys are going to be, it's bigger than PS4 versus Xbox One versus that other console that shall not be named. It's really, really the Wii U. I had like a brain, like I couldn't think of it. I was like, it's not the Wii. It's like the new Wii. The Wii U.
Not doing so hot either.
No, it's not doing that great.
It's doing so, I guess, poorly that they've decided, like, the new game, the big game they're gonna, Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Wii U, you need a Wii U to make the new Smash Brothers. No, you don't. They're putting it on 3DS.
Wow. Yeah, you see, I don't know if I'd ever want to play the Wii on the Smash Brothers on 3DS.
Really, if I want to do that, and I was like,
imagine
you have one. You have a 3DS.
3DS. I'll probably get it. All my friends are going to get it, and we're all going to play over Wi-Fi and play together anyways.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, for championships, for events,
you're going to
get, like, Melee, I think, or Brawl or something. You know,
yeah,
I don't think
everyone's going to sit around 3DS for, like, a tournament.
No, I feel that that's a horrible idea. I did not know about that. We're going to probably do a podcast or a mini-cast at least about why the Wii U sucks and why you shouldn't get one. Or maybe to be more proactive, how to save the Wii U.
How to save the Wii U.
Nintendo should do like a bake sale or something. But no, this is going to be console versus PC discussion.
Gasp.
And I feel pretty strongly about it. I'm a console or a PC gamer rather.
Easy mode.
There are some games that I can only get on console, like Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid, like, 1,
Halo
2,
Reach.
3, 4, Halo Reach, just, you know, a ton of games. But now, the reason has sort of always been...
That's why you pick a certain console or playing platform is for the exclusives.
Right.
Today.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, that was previous gen, because we only just stepped into this next gen. That's how it's always been.
Well, there's still exclusives. I mean, Halo's not coming out for PS4.
Well, no. No, it's not.
If you want to play the next Halo
But will
series,
it come out for Windows 8.1, 8.2?
No.
Well, why not?
Because they haven't done that since Halo
2.
Did they do Halo 2?
Halo 2 came out on Vista.
Yeah.
And it was a rough release, so they didn't do it. But that was when Bungie was doing
Vista.
It.
Yeah.
It was there. What I'm saying is that there's no reason that Halo couldn't be released on a Windows platform.
No, I mean, there's no reason it couldn't.
There's no real reason that it couldn't be released on
Halo
PS4.
1 for computer.
Right. So the main point in this discussion, my main, like, my ammunition is in this discussion is that while I'm a PC gamer and I own a PS4, I recognize that if I open that PS4 up, there is very little difference between my PC and that PS4 and an Xbox One and a PC. Likewise, any console and a Steam box and a PC, they're getting closer to being the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they all have hard drives,
especially with a Steam box. A Steam box, I fixed it, did a teardown of the Steam box, and they ripped out the Titan, and they ripped out the PCs.
Yeah, they actually do have some Titans in the high-end one.
Right. But even if they didn't have Titans.
There's a big difference between your PC and most consoles is they don't have Titans in them.
Right, but the lower versions of the Steam boxes had 760s,
right.
Which is totally
affordable.
But those
are specifically, like, PCs. But it's the hardware that goes into it is what the difference is.
Right. So before, with the Xbox One, I'm sorry, the Xbox Original, it was a different type of processor. With the PS3, it was a different type of, it was cell processor. With older PC or older Mac platforms, there were RISC processors and G5s and G4s and Power PCs. But now everything's Intel or AMD, which is the same.
Which is still x86.
Yeah, the mostly the same instruction set. All the tools that were building things for consoles are PC tools that were just getting, you know, we're smashing it into a PS4 disc or a PS4 downloadable or an Xbox One disc or an Xbox One downloadable. So why? What is the benefit if hardware is getting so close to blurring the lines? What is the biggest deal to get a console over a PC or a PC over
price.
A console? Price. Okay, so how much? Let's go ahead and talk numbers. I spent $1,400 on my PC, and that's $1,400 over like 2 years, which is, let's just say, $700 a year. That is more than any console I think I've ever purchased. I purchased a PS3 back in the day for $600. I recently purchased a PS4 for $400, and I don't think I've purchased that level. But Cap, how much? I know you have a very decent computer. We almost have the same computer.
We're not going to say it's good. It's decent. You know, very decent.
My computer's really good.
You know, it's
very
it's,
decent.
It's in between 12 and 1500.
I
imagine.
But I mean, or are you just talking about just
I'm
the tower?
I'm getting on the edge of 2000.
Yeah, I think I got $1,000 worth of monitor.
Right. Well, no, I'm not even counting the monitors. The monitor I have two monitors that were $350 each.
Yeah. I got a triple monitor set up running $1,000 for the monitors. Then, $800 for the video card when I got it.
You can't really count the monitors because if you want
Well, I mean, you need the monitors.
You got to count your TV.
Well, then count the TV. I didn't say not to.
Yeah. So, well, no, that's a good point. So, if we look at aggregate cost, you know, if you use aggregate cost, then instead of $400 for this PS4, it's really like $1,500 because I have a projector and I have a PS4, but I also have a sound system, which is another grand, you know, with speakers and the receiver, which is another $300.
Wow, so are consoles actually cheaper?
Consoles are, you know, $3,000 when you get down to it.
When you get the setup.
I think we just made a discovery.
I mean, I was going to have the MG setup with projectors and surround sound. And
right. Well, you could spend $1,000.
Yeah, please,
can't
tell me what is it like to be poor?
You could spend $1,000 on
a
TV. You could spend $1,000 on a TV easy.
I don't think I can make a projector in my apartment. I don't
think
I would like it.
Well, I mean, it's still $1,000. Mm-hmm. It's a $1,000 projector, $1,000 TV. Mm-hmm. So let's just say $1,000 for that. And you can get smaller, of course, but let's just say a $50 TV or $1,000 projector, 50 inch. So you've got that, $1,000. And let's just say you cut all that other stuff out, that you cut out the AV receiver and everything, and you're not doing surround sound, and it's just coming from the TV or whatever.
What's
so
the arcades?
$1,000 plus 1,400 plus, you know, however much for games. You're only looking at, say, $1,500, whereas that's just our PC setup. And you won't ever really upgrade your console except for your hard drive in some cases. It's an all-in-one closed system. It's a closed box.
Right.
But eventually you're going to have to replace it completely with the new system.
Well, yes. Yeah, but that's going to be in a few – that's going to be years later.
Right.
Especially, you know, nothing's backwards compatible anymore. So it's like, oh, I want to play this new PS4 game. Well, now I have to buy a PS4. Can't play it on my PS3.
Well, to be completely honest, have you ever tried to play a Windows 98 game on a Windows 8.1 PC?
Windows 8.
That's hell on earth. What I'm saying is, like, backwards compatibility shouldn't be a thing anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Right. Like, you got to make progress. If you make it backwards compatible, you're going to make sacrifices.
No one complained that we couldn't play Super Nintendo or regular Nintendo games on the Super Nintendo. If they did, they're dumb. I'm sorry.
They're dumb.
I know they developed all these little –
a lot of hate over there.
Well, all I'm saying is that it's – if you're still playing PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, which I know I still am, I have a PlayStation 2. And that's how I'm going to do it.
Right.
And when that stops working, then I will find another way to do it. But I'm going to keep PS3 until I run out of want to play PS3 games. And then I'll shelve the console. I probably won't ever get rid of it because I've done that with two Dreamcast consoles. And I've always found a reason to play Dreamcast games again every now and then. I'll throw it out of the closet, put it up to an old TV, and
We
go. But I feel like now that was back when hardware was so completely different. And not with the exception of the Dreamcast, because the Dreamcast was, I think, the most PC-like.
Well, it could run Windows CE.
Yeah, it was the most PC-like console out there at the time. But now with Xbox One and PS4, and again, I'm ignoring Wii U because it's totally off on its own innovative, quote-unquote, innovative track.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're calling
track.
It.
It's the short bus of consoles.
Well, if we're going to, if we're going to say
I want to be slanderous.
It's looking like the only difference now is do you use keyboard or do you use
And that does make a big
controller.
Difference. Like, if you're playing shooters, play a shooter with a mouse and keyboard, yes. And then try playing it with a controller.
You'd do much worse.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. You'll do way worse. But at the same time...
But why can't you... I mean, can you hook up a mouse and keyboard to...
I think so.
I think you can. I know the PlayStation 3 you could.
Yeah. I believe the game has to support those extra inputs.
So
but,
it really just depends on the developers.
Yeah. And on top of that, like with Steam, with Steam OS coming out or being out and supporting streaming of games to your Steam boxes or to your Media Center PCs, those support both... console-like controllers, which I've got my DualShock 4 running on my computer wirelessly with Bluetooth.
Right. I mean, I have my Xbox controller.
And Xbox has been notorious for being a good PC controller also. When a ton of Steam games, and I guess other games too, but a ton of Steam games, because that's the primary avenue, I guess the primary distribution network now, when they are getting really good at supporting controllers and also supporting keyboard and mice... The lines on input are even blurring. The lines on keyboard and mouse and controllers are even blurring. So
we'll have to see how the new Steam controllers are when they come out. I am interested in
that. That's even crazier because now they're developing a controller that they say, you could use it for this. You could play all of your games with this one controller. You don't have to worry about getting separate controllers because I prefer the...
I was saying, there's never really been good controllers for PC until you start to be able to hook up like the Bluetooth, PlayStation 3, the Xbox controllers. That's the first... I mean, you remember what was it? Sidewinder from Microsoft?
Yeah, it was this really weird, like a Sega Genesis Reject controller.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it probably was a Reject design from Sega.
I think that in the future, and I mean like in the 6 to 10 to 24 month, and I know it's weird, like half a year to three quarters to 2 years, but in that span of time, I would hope to see that. Because I don't think before I say what I predict, let me preface that with I don't feel that games are capitalizing on the new processors, the faster processors. We're barely using quad core efficiency.
With consoles being so popular, I believe that PC gaming is really being held back because these larger companies want to make something that's going to sell, and a lot more people have have consoles than PCs. So you get a ported version of the game that doesn't fully take advantage of your massive PC.
All the resources you have.
Well, I think now that the problem before I thought was because the hardware is so different that they have to forego doing it on PC, mega edition on PC, and doing it on specific cell architecture or specific this architecture for Xbox.
Well, you have that, but I mean, just looking at graphics alone, you're not going to have. I'm saying this. I haven't looked. I don't think like the PlayStation 4 has a 6 gig texture cache.
It's got 8 gig, 8 gig of DDR5 RAM. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And the Xbox One
maybe it'll get better.
I feel that The hardware is not the problem. The hardware is not the problem, I feel. It's how we interface with the device and how we what we look at we need out of games. I feel that we need to make games better, but that we don't necessarily need to utilize brand new hardware that is going to, of course, come out first on PC.
Hardware doesn't make a better game.
Right, exactly.
And we've really, for the past few years, leaned hard on hardware to push graphics and the showy parts of a game, and we've gotten away from story and things that make a good map design.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Yeah, all I feel is that we're not going to see for a little while a game or a set of games take full advantage of brand new hardware that is coming out specifically for PC, that will not make the game better. And even graphically, the Titans, let's just say everyone had a Titan right now. When we create a better graphics card, what does that graphics card practically buy us in terms of gameplay or in terms of graphics?
In the real world, besides numbers.
Yeah, okay, you could crunch more numbers, but if you don't need to crunch those numbers.
I can run this game at 7,000 frames a second. Too bad, I can only see like 60.
Yeah, it's when people say, oh, I spent this much on my computer, and I did this, I did cooling, and I did this, and I did that, and I was like, that's great, but if you don't if you really don't need that, then the way hardware, at least for PCs, because it's different for PCs than it is for consoles, the way hardware works for PC is that you will replace your entire system every 3 to 4 years, I feel. Maybe the case. If you buy a big enough case, you'll keep that.
Enthusiast will.
Right, but
because that's what we want to do anyway.
Right. It's the joy of building the case, but yeah. you're not building a new computer and gaining anything out of it. And if you're looking to go for
gaining technical numbers, you're not gaining real world.
Right. Nothing is using that.
I agree.
Just like for the consoles now, nothing right now is using the console's power.
Mm-hmm, right.
Or the full console's power. And I would even say that The Last of Us, for PS3, The Last of Us didn't fully utilize the PS3's power. And I feel like it won't use that for a little while. We have yet to see the full power of both the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
The main thing that keeps me on PC, because that's what I prefer, is the games I play. It's come down to content.
I was about to say MMOs on consoles are not good.
I play MMOs almost exclusively. I play these games that I feel would be terrible to play on consoles. I don't want to play League of Legends on a console.
Would you play League of Legends on a console?
I'll try.
Would you play it on a console if they added mouse and keyboard support?
At that point, I'm just using a computer that's not a computer I built myself.
Right. So if
I think that's the argument.
I feel like the argument is
if
the only thing – right. But okay, so for people that don't have a really, really great computer that are making the decision between PC or console and with the assumption that we will start seeing cross-platform dissolve. We will start seeing – there won't be a cross-platform. There will just be platform. There will just be it came out and it's a game.
Okay,
and
I'll
means
say
you can
this.
Play it.
Do you want to create anything? Do you want to make videos?
We're making a radio show right now.
Not you specifically.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm arguing
if
for console,
the
PC.
Arbitrary third
if
party.
If you're into content creation, you're going to want to lean towards getting a PC before anything.
Right.
Because, have you ever tried to, make a video on the PlayStation? Well, the new one does have the share version.
PS3 did have some video creator, snippet, cutter,
And the new one has the share button, which I'll admit I have not tried to use yet.
It's not bad. It's slow for me because internet, but it does seem like it works. I know it has built-in Twitch streaming on the console.
Since you can't install Linux on it anymore, you can't really develop.
I feel that definitely, I don't think consoles yet they're not meant to replace computers. But when Linux was able to be installed on the PS3, that was my computer for a little bit. I only got rid of that whenever I wanted to play games that were PC only. But I had an internet browser, a web browser that used mouse and keyboard. I had, games that I installed that were Linux games that worked on it. And I feel that if it was still going now, it would be very possible that could be a Steam box, including...
I'm really sad they killed that, too.
Inside of a PS3. So, if it's... And that was hard to do on the PS3 because the architecture was so arbitrary and so specific that now you have Intel and AMD processors in your in the
everything.
PS4 and the Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
So
you're
right.
They're basically
non-upgradable computers.
Right. They're just like Steam boxes. Steam boxes aren't meant to be upgraded. You can make one and you can upgrade it, but if you buy a Steam box, it's meant to be a console that is a Steam box console. And I feel like that is a computer. You know, everyone's doesn't have a, we don't have problems with the Steam Box because it is a computer. We know it's a computer. But whenever you say PlayStation 4, you're like, oh, it's a console. I'm like, well, it seems to be a computer. It's just, it doesn't.
Say, if it has a motherboard and RAM and a graphics card and a hard drive and an optical drive.
Yeah. I mean, it all boils down to content. I agree. It all boils down to content. But I hope in the future, in the next 2 years, we see that the next generation, and maybe it won't ever happen. Maybe there needs to be that line, you know, where you, this very, very distinctly.
Well, I think that line's going away.
Yeah. Like, but maybe it needs to be there. Like, maybe the industry hasn't grown so fast and so well enough to facilitate the growth of, like, you know, getting rid of that line and saying, now you just play games. Everyone can play games. If you have these consoles, it works. I feel like maybe we need that line there to delineate between you're a PC gamer and you're a console gamer.
So we can go around saying PC gaming master race?
Well, maybe. You know what? There's a lot of pride. I'll say that. There's a lot of pride for your systems and for your platforms.
Well, after you dump it, you said $2,000 into something.
Right. Yeah. No, I imagine it's the people that, you know, they mod out their cars and they say, oh, yeah, this is a, I don't know, a Civic or a Lancer or whatever. And
you're
it's
proud
got,
of your Civic. I'm sorry.
Well, but yeah, consoles aren't, they're not utility or as utility as PCs yet. I mean, you.
As utility. Is that good English?
Yeah. You can't, doesn't sound like a, you can't do. Some things on consoles, even with PS, and I have no experience with Xbox One yet, but PS4 has got some really cool multitasking capabilities where I could instantly hit the PS button or the PS4 button, whatever the button on the console is, or on the controller. It'll kick me back out to the interface, pause my game exactly where it is, and I can go and share, check email, go to the web browser, do that. But it's not at the same time. It's just kind of allows me to do it in line without disrupting
and
it.
And I believe they all only support one monitor.
No, they have second. They have second screen.
Do they?
Yeah, they have second screen. They have controllers that apps.
It's like next gen.
It's really cool. And the Vita is a second screen as well as like an iPhone. I've done second screen on my iPhone.
Oh, but I mean, like,
it's
can
not,
you plug two TVs into a PS4?
No, it's that's
not
what
I'm talking.
Yeah,
we're talking
about second screen and dual monitors aren't the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
So I feel like if your big thing is like you, Cap, you were discussing how earlier
I play my games and looking at my Reddit.
Yeah, so I mean, like if you're gonna look at Reddit or you're gonna look at Game Facts or something, and you're gonna play games, and because maybe you don't know how to beat that final, you know, mission in L.A. Noire.
Noob.
Have you ever played L.A. Noire? It's hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's to find to get 4 or 5 stars. It's
you
are it's
disrespecting my honor.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I feel like we are, you know, we're getting closer. We're going in that direction, and I'd like to see 2014. And we did this a little bit with the previous gen, I feel. And again, I don't want to like change it into a current gen versus previous gen. But in the previous generation, we sunk money and time into custom arbitrary peripherals like plastic instruments for rhythm games and little motion controllers.
Wii was terrible about this, by the way.
Right, like the amount of, I guess,
garbage.
The amount of garbage that we've created.
What have we done to our planet?
Get your plastic tennis racket Wiimote peripheral.
Right.
What have we done to the planet with all of our plastic?
You put the Wiimote in the little gun.
Ball Wiimote peripheral.
There was, I don't know.
Get your golf club Wiimote peripheral.
It just seemed like there were so many peripherals.
Get your Wiimote peripheral.
I get it. I get it.
It looks like a giant,
it's a bigger Wiimote. You put the Wiimote inside.
All the sleeves and all the little attachments for all of the game consoles. I feel like we need to change from the, I guess, plastic instruments like Rock Band guitars and move towards things like
instruments like metal guitars.
the steel guitar.
There we go.
That's what we need.
Yeah, there we go.
I'd play that game.
Steel guitar, steel drum. You play some reggae music. I feel that we should sink more money and time into things like the.
Like
the
our
Oculus,
education,
the
our
Oculus
lives,
Rift,
the progressing society.
No, mainly
Oculus Rift.
The Oculus Rift.
Oh, Oculus.
Okay. Because that's something that I feel like software can allow that to work on any console. It can work on the PC. We need to work on better controllers. Even though I love the DualShock 4 and the Xbox One's controller, I don't think that's like the end-all, be-all of controllers. I think it can be improved. I think we could do things different with it. Improve our I don't know, the way that wireless works and the way that we get our games on the disc and the way that we unpack them from the disc. And maybe we don't need
maybe
discs.
We don't need discs.
You know, maybe we don't need
discs.
I don't know. I need discs.
Discs need to go away. Discs.
No,
okay. Die
with,
in a fire.
With my internet, I need discs.
Oh. You need better internet.
If I wanted to get
need.
You know how much time it would take me to get 50 gigs of disc content to me through streaming? It would take roughly 3.5 days.
Take me about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, so yeah. Not with me. All I'm saying is I think we're moving there. I would like to see 2014 and the current generation and future generations build on not doing game-specific hardware.
We need to work on.
Let's do experience
as a country
specific.
Is our internet.
As a world.
I agree.
Better internet.
That should be our first priority. For the election
Why
2016,
isn't Google Fiber in Louisiana?
If there's
yet?
A president that promises me Google Fiber to my door, he's getting elected.
Internet,
I don't care
internet
if he eats
for
babies.
MG. We're going to start an Internet for MG donation fund. Internet for
How's
MG.
How's it going to help?
It'll help me get better
the
internet.
The provider won't come out regardless.
They might.
Bribe
they
them.
Might. I don't know. That is the show. We are done. Before we wrap up, what's the website, Bear?
That's exppoints.com.
And what's
Double
the Facebook? What's the Facebook?
Facebook.com/experiencepoints.
That's right. If you go to either of those websites, you will see all of our podcasts, all of our minicasts, all of our written and video reviews.
All of our faces.
All of our radio shows that we posted up there.
They're up there.
And you'll get to get in on some game giveaways, which they're going to be posted pretty soon.
Like free games.
We, Cap, you don't even know about this yet.
Season 5, game giveaways.
Red Bear and I know about it a little bit.
I know
but
all about
we are about to do some pretty crazy stuff with Experience Points. Experience Points. Is a changing, and we are getting some. We may get in some sponsors.
We rebranding.
We no, we're not going to be rebranding. We're still going to be experience points.
Experience.
We're going to be expanding. Ooh. Expanding.
Really loud at the beginning. I don't know.
If anything can be said, it's going to be a really awesome year for experience points.
It's
going to
be awesome.
Season 5, season 6, going to be fantastic.
We should open a China office.
It's. Not going
to
happen.
Try to get into China.
It's
a lot of regulation.
It's already expanding.
It's hard to get. I mean, we're not geographically expanding.
Oh.
I mean, I guess we could be. I don't know.
That's Internet's the world.
Listen, if you're in China, if you're listening on the online stream, if you're
available
in China,
let us know. I'm interested.
Yeah.
If you can understand what we're saying.
Are we in North Korea yet?
No.
That's our end goal.
I don't think. I've checked our IP, our connection logs. We're not in North Korea yet. No, as far as experience points concerned, in all seriousness, we plan on expanding. We plan on releasing some game servers, custom game servers with custom content, so you could play games with us.
With us,
you could also
like
play
celebrities.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. We're also working on getting some sponsorship. We're working on getting you some deals, not just game giveaways. We're working on getting you some deals that you can take with you, and maybe they're audiobooks, maybe they're video games that you can try out for free and things like that. So go ahead and check us out at exppoints.com or on facebook.com/experiencepoints, and we'll keep you up to date as far as that stuff's concerned. To end the night, we're going to do it pretty awesome. We're going to do Airbrush by Anna Monoguchi, which is an awesome song. I was playing that on a Rock Band earlier. It was
hard.
So good.
With your plastic peripheral?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very hard.
Keep it out of the landfill.
Singing is easy because they have no words in that song. And then it's going to be a Star Fox song. It's called Cornea Asteroids by Entertainment System, followed by Zero Day by MC Frontalot. Again, exclusively on Experience Points. You're listening to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And I'm Cap.
And listen to us next week, Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m.
Believe it!